Our next case is number 03-3547 and 3695, Edward West against Ortho McNeil Pharmaceutical Corporation. Ms. Potter.
Good morning, Your Honors, Counsel. Morning. I'm Robin Potter, Counsel for the Plaintiff Appellant, Ed West. In my opening 7 minutes, I just want to hit upon what I think are the crucial issues in this case and for civil rights litigants in the district court, below and in other district courts. The two issues presented by the defendant in this case at trial following Mr. West's pro se case of discrimination on the basis of race and his termination from Ortho was twofold in the record. And their Rule 50 motion is different than what they argue before this court, much the same way we would posit that their protagonist, Mr. Pascal, entrapped the plaintiff and then changed his testimony. They posited to Judge Leinenweber that there were just two issues. One, whether or not Pascal denied he approved the promotional materials in issue and whether he had any involvement in the termination of Mr. West. On this issue, the granting of a Rule 50 motion at trial, this court sits de novo and decides whether any reasonable juror, based on the facts and inferences from the evidence, could rule that race was a motivating factor. And on this, we also posit the defendant has changed the argument and claims Judge Leinenweber did, in fact, rule on the issues of race. The court did not. In our appendix, we set forth most clearly that the court only ruled that factually erroneously, that the court did not hear any testimony from Mr. Pascal admitting that he authorized Mr. West and trapped him to engage in activities that led to his termination. But that is not the issue for a civil rights litigant before a jury. He does not have to prove what the defendant denies. He only has to present through a preponderance of evidence that race was the motivating factor, or in this case, some evidence from which, under Rule 50, a reasonable juror could conclude that Mr. Pascal did, in fact, authorize the dissemination of the materials. It is in this record that Mr. West testified over and over again that it was authorized. And on questioning from his own counsel, Mr. Pascal denied it. That issue was joined.
What in the transcript of the trial is your best shot?
I think when you look, Your Honor, at page 22 of Mr. West's testimony, he says when he left off, he was reviewing the letter that I sent to Holy Cross under the authorization of my manager, Walter Pascal. He goes over and over again.
Is that the statement immediately after the luncheon break?
That is the statement right after lunch, yes.
And that's your best case right there?
I think that's one of many, viewing the record as a totality, that a reasonable juror could infer. I hesitate to parcel out words, particularly when a pro se litigant put on his own case. There are many references when joined together. Can a reasonable juror could have judged Ed being credible and Ortho not. Then again on page 60, as I started to say, I mean, Mr. Pascal, when we discussed on the phone the week of June 30th, he had a two-part strategy. The first was that I was to disseminate the information you've been shown. That's a very clear statement that it was authorized and he was told to disseminate that. Then upon cross, by defense counsel. Page 65, well, you said it was your manager and that you did what your manager told you to do. Isn't that right? That's correct, Mr. West replies. Page 65 again, line 6, okay, on cross. Now you allege that Mr. Pascal asked you to send out this Holy Cross material. Isn't that right? Answer, that's correct. And that's just on the question of whether it was authorized. And so I think, with all due respect, Judge Leinweber erred. Perhaps he didn't hear that. Perhaps he... It should have gone to the jury. It's a credibility issue. Pascal is asked right up front by his lawyer, did you authorize these materials? No. The issue's joined. Like in any other case, it's one of credibility, and we caution that particularly with a pro se litigant, Judge Canelli's teachings in the case that I have cited in our reply brief, that the court doesn't sit with a chancellor's foot. That's why we have juries in a constitutional democracy, so they can rule and not be supplanted by a chancellor's foot. And particularly with a pro se litigant, and particularly in a case of discrimination and one as heinous as this, where you have verbiage that is an affront, in the words of one court, to every African-American and others as well, where we have evidence of using the N-word and direct evidence of calling him an asinine black and an asinine N. Those are cases where states of mind, these are civil rights cases, where fragile states of mind require and cry out for a credibility determination by a jury and not by a chancellor's foot. So I think it's very clear the court erred, and in the record there is sufficient evidence of whether Mr. Pascal approved or didn't approve. The second issue is the barring of the other seven racial statements from the ears of the jury. And on that, I would say, Your Honors, that whether or not the court affirms on that issue, Mr. West is still entitled to a remand and new trial just solely on the Rule 50.
What is your reply to the appellee's view that this latter issue was just waived?
Well, I think I have set forth in the reply brief what the defendants did not, which was the full recitation of that dialogue between the district court and Mr. West on page 3 of my reply brief, citing short appendix page A4. This portion of the transcript, like many others, and I have the greatest respect for my client, but he's pro se, is a muddle. He doesn't know what the judge is saying. The judge is not, he's not concurring this is a correct ruling under Morgan. He's just saying, yes, Your Honor, these are the dates. Yes, the other statements fell before March 2000. And I think that... It's very clear that it's not, as the defendant argues, a knowing and voluntary relinquishment of substantial rights. Mr. West can't be put in that place. And I've cited incorrectly my reply. It's page 12, the dialogue. The defendant says, Judge, we're looking for statements of more than 2 years old. One occurred on March 2nd of 2000. Other than that, we believe the rest are stale. They should be time-barred and have no evidence with respect to causation. What about that, Mr. West? Well, I think that in terms of beyond March 2000, there were a couple of, I'll consent to that. All right. That is not a knowing and voluntary relinquishment of the right to put on evidence. I am very sensitive to the standard this court must apply as an abuse of discretion standard in the barring of evidence and the granting of that motion in limine.
Every one of these statements was made by, not by Taylor, but by the...
Everyone.
Okay.
Everyone by Mr. Pascal, which brings us to the second point of error on the Rule 50, that the judge claims, the district court judge claims, there was no evidence that the man with the racial bias was involved in the decision to terminate. That's plainly erroneous. It is not part of this record. And I think the court in its summary judgment ruling told Mr. West, if you prove certain things on page appendix 37, such that he participated or concealed his approval, you can go to trial. Mr. West proved that. and therefore it's completely factually erroneous. The defendant admits that Mr. Pascal turned him in, trapped him, called the boss, sat there and presided over the termination, meaning there's even more evidence than in the cases this court has ruled on with regard to cat's paw or the hidden discriminator participating, such as I cited with Lust and David versus Caterpillar. I'll reserve my time if that's okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Potter. We'll hear now from Mr. Tellman.
Good morning to the panel. Good morning, Counselor. May it please the court. My name is Nigel Tellman, Sidley Austin Brown and Wood, and I'm here representing the Arthur McNeil Pharmaceutical. When Judge Leinenweber ruled on his motion for summary judgment, he made it clear that there were only two issues left going forward upon which the plaintiff could prove race discrimination. He granted summary judgment on all of the other points. There were only two remaining, and those two was whether or not his supervisor, Mr. Pascal, authorized the dissemination of the cover letter that led to the termination of Mr. West's employment, and whether or not his supervisor influenced the company's decision to terminate Mr. West's employment. Throughout the entire trial, Judge Leinenweber reiterated that point over and over again. At the close of the trial, Mr. West had failed to put on any evidence of either of those two issues. Even with respect to his own testimony, which lasted approximately a day, he did not present any evidence with respect to those two issues. All of the sites that counsel has presented do not go to the issue of whether or not Mr. Pascal reviewed the cover letter. Ms. Taylor, who is the undisputed decision maker, clearly stated on her direct and examination that she reviewed the cover letter. The cover letter, in and of itself, was enough to violate the Arthur McNeil's policies and subject the plaintiff to termination. That was the basis of the decision. Now, with respect to whether or not Mr. Pascal reviewed the letter, Mr. West didn't testify to that. What the counsel has cited in their brief are a series of other statements, passing statements that Mr. West made during trial with respect to some material that was included in the packet that was sent to Holy Cross Hospital. With respect to the cover letter, there was no evidence or testimony with respect to Mr. Pascal reviewing that. Indeed, when Judge Leinenweber took argument on the Rule 50 motion, he specifically asked Mr. West. He said, "I didn't hear any testimony from you regarding this cover letter that was the basis of your termination. Did Mr. Pascal review this letter?" And he said, and it's in the record, "Mr. Pascal, I never showed it to Mr. Pascal. I read it over to him over the telephone." If we scour the record, you will see no testimony by Mr. West that he read this letter to Mr. Pascal over the telephone. There was no evidence on that point, and Judge Leinenweber was absolutely correct in granting the Rule 50 motion on that point. With respect to the second issue, whether or not the supervisor influenced the company's decision to terminate Mr. West, Kathy Taylor made clear once again that she made a decision to terminate the employment based primarily and 100% on the cover letter, the content of the cover letter. And this court has given us direction on several cases that state if the information the termination decision was based upon is clear and objective, as in this case, where the letter was there. There was no question that Mr. West wrote the letter. He has never denied that he wrote the letter. And the clear content of the letter clearly violated the policy that he was aware of. That is enough. There is no evidence that Mr. Pascal influenced that decision. But even if he did influence the decision, it still doesn't relate to the cat's paw theory because Ms. Taylor made a clear and objective decision based on the content of the letter as opposed to the rules, and she clearly had a right to do so. Judge Leinenweber was correct that there was no evidence with respect to any influence or undue influence by Mr. Pascal on the termination decision. He was absolutely correct in granting the Rule 50 motion with respect to that point. With respect to the time-barred statements, first of all, it's important to note the content, what these time barred statements are. These were statements that were all made long before Mr. West was terminated. None of the statements contained any reference to Mr. West's termination. None was made by the decision maker, Ms. Taylor, and none was alleged to have been heard by the decision maker, Ms. Taylor. First, Mr. West expressly consented to the exclusion of the statements. Mr. West knew exactly what he was doing when we were arguing those motions in limine, and respectfully, I disagree with counsel. Mr. West actually filed a motion to reconsider some of the other motions in limine that the judge granted in Arthur McNeil's favor, and indeed ended up reversing one of those motions, rulings on those points. So if Mr. West was indeed confused, he would have filed a motion to reconsider. Okay. Even so, the transcript is full in front of the court. I will leave it to the panel to make a determination as to what Mr. West meant when he said, "I'll consent to that." We submit that he meant he was consenting to excluding those statements. Notwithstanding, it is well within the district court's broad discretion to exclude these statements. We all know it's a very heightened standard of review on that point, and that should only be reversed if the court determines that Judge Leinenweber was so fundamentally wrong that no reasonable person could agree, and we don't think that plaintiff has met his burden in that respect. With respect to the Federal Rule of Evidence 10b-2 and 10b-3 violations, respectfully, I'll rest on what we submitted in our briefs, but the fact that Mr. West is a pro se plaintiff does not alleviate his rights and responsibilities and obligations under the federal rules. And neither does it give him the right to deny the appellee, Arthur McNeil in this case, its opportunity to present a full transcript and a full record for this court to review the issues. Unless I have any questions from the panel, I will respectfully rest on what's in my briefs, and thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Tillman. Ms. Potter, you have a single minute.
In my one single minute, I would like to say that, again, the defendant has grossly misrepresented this record and even the record they put in their brief. Page 26, defendant. At trial, Pascal denied he either reviewed or authorized the cover letter. That's sufficient to put in issue and to rebut what was just said before your honors that there was no evidence. Page 22 in Exhibit 12 was part of a whole document. The defendant never said to Judge Leinenweber, we move for Rule 50 because the cover letter was not one thing that was approved. They said whether he approved the Holy Cross material, A3. We asked the court to be guided as well by the teachings of Maruf and the other cases before you, that when a protagonist such as Pascal puts in motion a termination, lays in wait, conceals and traps, and doesn't tell the real decision maker, I'm behind this, and I'm not going to tell you anymore due to my bias, that is sufficient. Not under Shager and Cat's paw, but that is sufficient to infect the decision of the decision maker. Unless the court has any questions, I think the red light means I'm out of time.
It does.
Thank you.
Our thanks to both counsel. The case will be taken under advisement.